Preemptively, right?
Yes.
He's from Hong Kong, and his presentation had some kind of things, but he better knows his the title of his presentation. He will let us use it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the introduction. My name is Thomas Provencely. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and also Berlin. I came up from Berlin. Now, the title of my talk is Superlinks by Transformative Optics, or what I call QED. Now, maybe you've known about transformative optics. The previous talk had to do with metamaterials. But I've taken this situation and applied it to us using a new mechanism. Now, the introduction, in optics, image quality depends on the diffraction limit. Transformative optics, which is related to the metamaterials we just saw, claims a super lens enhances the image quality below the diffraction limit. And they argue that evanescent waves in metamaterials have negative permittivity in contact with a dielectric with a permittivity of equal and opposite sign. When this was first introduced to me, I found it very complicated. So I thought about another way, but an ordinary silver film, no metamaterial, an ordinary silver film is found experimentally to enhance image quality, and this raises the question, does enhanced image quality require transformative optics? This is how I walked in. The problem, evanescent waves require a thermal origin. I like this subject to come up here, because you use TIR all the time, but they should require a thermal origin. But the Planck law of quantum mechanics precludes temperature fluctuations in nanoscale films because the heat capacity of the atom vanishes. That's why I asked the question in the previous talk, what were the dimensions of the metamaterial? You have to be nanoscale. Transformative optics based on evanescent waves therefore cannot explain the enhanced image quality because the evanescent waves cannot exist at the nanoscale. Just follow my logic. Maxwell simulations. Well, someone will say, hey, we did Maxwell simulations. Well, problem is transformative optics in silver films by evanescent waves is thought confirmed by them. But again, Maxwell solutions were questionable because quantum mechanics denies the atoms in the electromagnetic confinement in nanoscale films have the heat capacity to fluctuate in temperature as required by the FDT. And I think you all know what that means. This is the fluctuation dissipation theorem. In the near field heat transfer began about 50 years ago on the conjecture that black body heat, Q, is greatest than zero spacing. And those of you who were here last year, recall I gave a talk on this, where I questioned the importance of evanescent waves in near field heat transfer. So briefly going back, here a hot and cold surface. We know heat flows from hot to cold. Temperature hot is greater than cold. And these structures can be macroscopic. Excuse me. But the spacing between them is very small. Okay? So if you have the spacing less than 100 nanometers, it's a brand new ball game. But if based on classical physics, the surface temperatures do not change as the gap D vanishes. You have a hot and cold surface, and you bring them closer and closer together, the temperature does not stay. Classical physics assumes the temperature will stay hot and cold. The quantum mechanics goes against that. And you can see what happens, because if you bring them together, the heat going across here will go to infinity. And in fact, many of the near heat transfer solutions show very high amplification of the heat flow. It was quantum mechanics already showed that doesn't occur. So, quantum mechanics differs as the temperatures cannot fluctuate and the surfaces really have vanishing heat capacity. So it's under confinement. By quantum mechanics, the near field heat transfer is not enhanced. They had predicted hundreds magnitudes of hundreds increase in heat transfer. But that doesn't work by quantum mechanics. That only works with the classical physics, which I'm trying to present to you, it's not valid. The classical limit. I guess I didn't do this right, but the FDP is usually described in relation to the classical limit. H nu is much less than KT, or lambda is much greater than AC over KT. And if you evaluate this at 300 degrees Kelvin, what you find is around 48 microns. And you take a limit, this is this term here, AC over lambda, this term is the Planck law. And if you take the limit as the Planck constant goes to zero, you can show to yourself that it will converge to KT. Now in the classical limit, you have KT. This came more or less from Tavlov, recent paper, book. Okay. Planck law quantum mechanics, taking what I just told you and presenting it in the form of a figure. Here you see the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts on the ordinate, and on the abscissa, the electromagnetic confinement wavelength in microns. This white line you see here is classical physics. From the macro scale, way out here to the nano scale below, 0.1 microns, it's a constant. No matter what the confinement is, the classical physics always gives you the same KT energy. And again, something has happened here with my the quantum mechanics is shown here. This is the Planck law, as you see. And this was the condition I showed you just previously. You can see that's around 50 microns. You see this line. And it says that classical physics is much greater than this line, which would put you out here somewhere. And that's when the classical physics is valid. Now, for nanoscale films, lambda less than 0.1 microns, way over here, there's no heat capacity whatsoever to the atom. Okay? And the FDP, based on classical physics, is not applicable at the nanoscale. And you have to ask the question, what is the mechanism of EM confinement at lambda less than 0.1 micron? You have to go from way out here in a macro scale, way down here. So what is it about the nanoscale that makes this happen? think about it. Maxwell solutions again. In the near field, between macroscopic surfaces, the heat flux is given here. This is the heat. Here is V is the spacing. And the theta omega t here is the Planck law expressed in terms of frequency. And when they did the simulations in near field heat transfer, they do look at this. They do include the Planck law, but only in the waves moving parallel to the surface. They can be long wavelengths. Normal to the surface, you're at UV frequencies and there's no heat possible. So in a way, they include the Planck law, but not all the way. And the question is, can heat Q tunnel across the gap by evanescent waves? I think you probably heard it does. And I like to reverse that a little bit. And I'm going to answer that by no, unless you can convert the evanescent waves into a propagating wave. I brought this up earlier today. If you can somehow convert an evanescent wave to a propagating wave, then you can have heat transfer across the surface. In the silver film, QED, which I call, I'll explain this later, creates subdiffraction light at a wavelength lambda from absorption of the diffraction limited light, and I call that P star. Here's what I mean. Out here somewhere you get a diffraction limited view, and if you pass it through a silver film here, what I'm arguing is that you're going to produce another image in a shorter wavelength automatically. No metamaterials, no transformative optics. And here QED stands for quantum electrodynamics, but it is not the complex relativistic QED by Feynman. What it is I call simple QED. It conserves that P star light by creating standing waves of subdiffracted light between the film surfaces, having a half wavelength lambda over 2 equal ND. Here N and D are the refractive index and thickness of the film. Now you see I'm assuming what I've shown here in a way is a standing wave. Energy comes in, the temperature cannot increase, you have to conserve it, you create a standing wave, and I've shown this by this circle. That in turn will come out of a shorter wavelength. No metamaterials are required. The QED mechanism, classical physics again, repeating, conserve the diffraction limit of light by change in the film temperature. Quantum mechanics differs, there's no temperature change, and instead the nanoscale films automatically have high electromagnetic confinement of the atoms, because we all know that the surface to volume ratio is very high at the nanoscale. Right? You all know that. The heat of that image therefore confines both surfaces, providing the momentary electromagnetic confinement. That's the key to get to the nanoscale. And because of this confinement, QED creates standing waves in the film. But once you use up the heat in the surface to create the waves, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement, and the image propagates. Now you hear an important thing. It propagates through the silver film at a wavelength equal to 2 ND. That's what I was pointing out earlier today. I feel you have to convert the evanescent wave to a propagating wave. Anyway, And what I'm saying here is QED is a mechanism that converts evanescent waves to propagating. Once you do that, I think you can see how the particle over a surface can move. It can be driven by a propagating wave, but it's somewhat problematic that a evanescent wave will do that. Now, this is an application. Again, this goes back over 10 years, right? And when they did this simulation, they tried to explain it with evanescent waves. But that doesn't matter. This is experimental data. And what you see here is 365 nanometer illumination. This is in the UV. And it passes through quartz. As you know, it quartz is transparent to UV. Here they have a quartz etching. Nano is a... Here you see an etching here, nano, and some lines. So the light passes through here, creates an image. The image goes through this PMMA. It's like a plexiglass plastic. And here's a silver film, shown in blue. Here in the PR is the photoresist. So again, the light comes through, forms this image. The image goes through the PMMA and is put into the silver film. Okay, it's an input into the silver film. It's heat, but that heat has information on it. There is heat on the wave itself. And by QED, it will convert this to a lower wave, shorter wavelength, and that will etch the photoresist. And here you can see the resolution quite accurate. This is experimental, this is not theoretical. Full width at half wavelength, maximum line width. This is the case for the wavelength of 243. Okay. nanometers, which is 365 nanometer UV divided by the refractive index of PMMA, which is 1.5. This is what you get here. And if you want with the silver lens, lo and behold, you get much smaller, around 89. This is experimental. Forget the fact that evanescent waves were argued to explain it. So the QED interpretation, diffraction limit of wavelength C star for PMMA with N equal 1.5, you can see that's 243, and the silver film absorbs that light C star of that diffracted image. The heat is conserved by the creation and emission of light wavelength lambda 2 and D. And what this means is since they use 35 nanometer thick silver film, and this emits light at a sub-diffraction wavelength lambda. And silver, having N equal 1.28 at P star equal 243, okay, from that you can compute the wavelength 2 times 1.28 times 35, 89.6. Now, I need more experimental data to further substantiate this, but that's statistically an idea. Okay? There's no complex metamaterial analysis necessary. In conclusions, QED is proposed as an alternative to transformative optics. And QED does not rely on evanescent waves, but by quantum mechanics precludes the conservation of light from the diffraction limited image C star going into the silver lens by changing temperature. Instead, the simple QED conserves the light from the P star image to create wavelength lambda less than P star. This will enhance the image quality. Now, extensions. The same physics I've used in many places, but the one I think is relevant at this time. About 2 years ago, I was asked to look at LPP lithography, and at 13.5 nanometers, and they were having trouble showing Moore's law would work. Okay, and LPP here is laser-produced plasma. LPP uses high-power CO2 lasers to vaporize solid targets. Some of that you get atomic emission, then you filter that down to 13.5. Now you have extreme ultraviolet EUV light. Okay. This is the picture. Here you see the CO2 laser, a cassegrain mirror with a hole at the center. The target is here. CO2 laser goes through the opening, vaporizes the target, and of course the radiation goes out in all directions. But what comes back is reflected to a point here, and this is the reticle stage. And it's very complicated. Eventually you get to the chip, which is on here, and to do the etching. But the process is very inefficient. Not that that really matters, because they have a lot of money, but I think you can see from this description that LPP lithography is both complex and very expensive. All right. QED lithography. What I presented was an alternative to this, and I'm arguing this is simple and inexpensive. And this is what I showed. This is going back about 3 years, 2 years. Here you see a spherical lens, the size of your hand. The mirror in the LPP is this big, the meter. You put a coating on the surface and a heater on the back surface. The heat comes through, it tries to go through the coating. Temperature cannot change. The only way you can conserve that is to produce radiation, and from that you can get the EUV and have a focus at a point. And again, the EUV wavelength is lambda, as you can see earlier in this presentation, 2nd, and D is the coating thickness. QEV then induces the conversion of heat supplied at the spherical lens to EUV at D thickness of 6.75 nanometers, silver. Now, this in itself, this is not easy, even on a small surface, to control the thickness on a curved surface to 6.75 nanometers is not easy. But it's certainly a lot easier than what they're trying to do with LPP. So again, here's the wavelength. This comes out 13.5. I take the refractive index to be 1, because in the EUV into the X-ray range, the index converges to 1. Now, you all know Trump, right? And you all know Intel. Well, Intel in 2009, this was their roadmap. Excuse me. And by 2018, they wanted to make 7 nanometer chips. Okay. And here you see the CEO of Intel. He's showing Trump a sample here. And Trump got involved in this because he claimed that the tax policy has disadvantaged us. He should have said USA. Us could be us in this room, which is irrelevant. But the USA is something else. And he made a pitch to work with CEO to build a plant in Arizona. But they have to ask the question, what is the 7-nanometer cost? How are we going to do this? Now, I don't know, and I couldn't find it. If it exists, they wouldn't say it anyhow. But given what I've just showed you, I think they're most likely thinking about LPP because they used it before, that type of thinking. But on the other hand, QED induces EUV at 7 nanometers with a 3.5 nanometer coating on a lens, okay, by this equation. Okay. Now, to me, this is a lot simpler, but at this level, that doesn't matter. They have a lot of money. They can do anything they want. Well, that's all I have. This is the email address if you want to get back to me. This presentation will be on the web, and you can go on there and look at it and look at other things you may be interested in. Thank you very much.
Any other
intellectual
issues?
Yes. So, this is QED, a limit of QED?
What?
So, this is QED by Feynman.
No, it isn't.
It's not the limit.
No, that's too complicated. He's using relativistic arguments for QED. I'll just explain to you. The coating will cause the wave to be created because quantum mechanics doesn't allow the temperature to increase. And that wave, that standing wave, is the half wavelength. It's just lambda over 2 equal in D. That's all you need to know.
Yes,
it's so simple, it should bother you. And that's why I was asked to look at it. They knew I would argue with it. And that's what you see. I've updated this a little bit for silver. I had used zinc oxide before, but it's an idea.
Okay, so maybe
turn
around. Is it not a limit of QED?
What?
So your simple QED, a limit of Feynman QED or not?
No. I don't care about Feynman. Don't need it. If you have a structure which is nanoscale, and again this is the important thing on the metamaterials, what I was asking, and you put energy into it, you cannot have any temperature change. Why? Because of quantum mechanics. And because the surface of the nanostructure, okay, provides the confinement. All the energy goes into the surface. So in the atoms inside are under high confinement. Okay? They can't have heat passing. And let me ask you, how do you conserve it? If what I'm telling you is true, how would you conserve that energy?
Okay, your question?
Very quickly, answer my question.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just figured.
The only way you can do that is create waves inside, and standing waves are most likely because you have the confinement on the surface.
But the heat, like the NHC,
concerns
that
sort of QED is quite. What?
The
what? The heat, what?
So QED, like Feynman.
I already told you now. I already told you a few times to get Feynman. Use your own thinking. If you have no heat capacity and the energy comes in, you cannot conserve it by a change in temperature. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. How would you conserve it? You.
I would call it Feynman QED. Because I believe it. There's a lot of experimental validation for this.
Well,
a lot.
Unfortunately, you have to use your own. You can't reference. You can't blame Feynman for everything. And in this case, it's not applicable. So, because you have the standing wave, you only can create a standing, because you have the energy confinement in the surface, all you can do is create standing waves from the energy in the surface. And once you use up that energy in the surface, you create the wave, the photon comes from. And this, by the way, happens with cosmic dust and redshift. Although it's easier than you point for work with something.
Okay, one more short question.
So, when you turn heat into radiation, you get a black body spectrum.
No, it will not get black body. Black body is a classical concept.
It's not a black body.
No, they see this. They will irradiate nanoparticles and they will find a spectrum that does not agree with the black body. The people know there's all this. If it's classical, macroscopic particle, of course, you're going to get black body radiation. But the nanoscale is truly a brand new ball.
Okay, thank you once more. Okay, then he is from the University of Texas. Okay.